I'm Brian.
I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and the inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 257, our All Questions episode. Brian, welcome to my humble abode.
It's great to be in your humble abode. It's not so humble. It's a very nice place you have down here.
Oh, shucks, thanks. I like it.
Yeah, it's nice. It's hot outside, but we're not outside.
We just put our backyard back together after the big storms, you know, that I had packed everything away.
And on the drive down last night, I could see the remnants of the big storm on the freeway, in the washes, on the side of the freeway. You could tell there was some damage done.
Yeah, it was a big, big storm. It was really dramatic, but we suffered no damage, thank the universe.
What'd you get? 5.5, 6 inches of rain in a day?
I think so. It was a year's worth of rain for this area in one day. Rob just looked out and said, it's like the UK, nothing special. What are they all complaining about?
There's just not enough grass around to drink it all up.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you're the, which visitor now? Oh, I think you're the second visitor from the team.
Did Georgia come down
here? Yeah, Georgia's been here, yeah. Maybe we can have a team retreat here in the when the weather is not so hot.
We should.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Sit outside, gossip, sit in the pool.
Have a drink.
Non-alcoholic beverages in our house, but you can bring the liquor if you want.
Okay. I'll bring the liquor.
I did some checking before we started, and I couldn't find any instance of there being any news except, of course, you know what.
What do I know?
eBay Open.
Oh, that news. Yes, definitely eBay Open. I have not seen anything else either. I was out of the office yesterday driving to Southern California, so if nothing else came up yesterday, I think that's it. It's eBay Open.
Yeah, it's eBay Open.
And it's only 4 weeks away.
I know.
We checked with our seller event manager, Allison, for an update on the eBay Studio events, and they are nearly sold out with only a few spaces left at the Phoenix event and the other cities closing in as well. And that's Atlanta, Philadelphia, and Chicago.
They're going fast. You procrastinate at your peril.
You can register for the main online event and the in-person studio events at ebay.com/open.
And I know it sounds like there's not a sense of urgency here, but I got to tell you, we've done this now for several years, and we both start getting deluged with emails from people who said, there's no more space left. I'm hoping because you and I are friends and I listen to the podcast that you can get me in. And I got to tell you, I can't get you in. So if you don't register now for these events, if you're in these areas, whether that's Phoenix, Atlanta, Philadelphia, or Chicago, you're going to miss out. So don't miss out.
They're really fun events. You know, you get to connect with eBay sellers, you get to connect with eBay staff, and you get to connect with eBay executives at each of the location. There will be eBay vice presidents, at least a couple vice presidents at each one. You'll definitely want to attend if you're nearby one.
Absolutely. Well, as I said at the top of the episode, this is our all Q&A episode. We got lots of questions queued up, so we'll take a short segue break, and we'll be right back with our Q&A segment.
You got questions?
We got answers. And our first question this week comes from eBay seller Matt, who sent the following to podcast@ebay.com. Hello, I have a question about descriptions. I heard that having a short description of one or two sentences was preferred. However, the new AI descriptions are two whole paragraphs. Is there a preferred way to write a description? Do any terms that appear in the description help your item come up in search results? Thank you for the podcast. Signed, Matt.
I don't know what Matt's selling. So in some ways, detailed descriptions depend a little bit on the item being sold and the types of things that you need to call out in a description. You could imagine an antique that has some blemishes. You might want to call those out versus, let's say, something that's standard like an iPhone charger.
Right. I think he's on the right track.
He is.
He heard that having a short description is a preference. And I think you have to think of it from the buyer's perspective. Buyers don't come to a listing to read paragraph after paragraph.
Correct.
We've always said, describe the item with as much verbiage as you need, while at the same time being concise and not editorializing. Now, I know this AI writing the description thing is all the hot thing right now, and probably nothing wrong with it. But I wouldn't just leave it to AI. I'd always edit afterwards. You know, I would take out, if there's a lot of editorializing, like this is a beautiful, wonderful, rare, fantastic, one of a kind thing, I'd get rid of that stuff. I mean,
you don't need it.
And in fact, I think it actually can work against you.
How so?
For example, I'm selling some really rare fragrances right now. They're expensive fragrances, and I avoid any mention of the fact that they're rare or hard to find or really sought after. And I don't even mention anything like that. I just describe what it is, put in the pictures, and then the price. When somebody comes across it, they want to believe that they're discovering this and thinking, oh my God, the seller doesn't realize what they have.
Oh, little psychology there, Griff.
Exactly.
That's interesting. So I know in the past, we've always said use enough words to accurately describe the item that you're selling.
Right.
No less, no more.
No less, no more.
So if it's a couple sentences, great.
Yeah.
If you need more detail, I know some people who sell like old antique, or not even antique, but old Rolex watches. They're high-priced items. They want to make sure that the person is confident with what they're purchasing, and they know, you know, is the bezel the same one that came with the watch originally? Is the watch band the same? All of those things that matter, you want to include those details.
Matt also asks about descriptions helping items come up in search. And actually, Matt, they have no connection.
Right.
I think there's still, is there still an option in search where you can check a box and it says search title and description? We used to have that.
You can.
You still can do that?
I'm almost positive.
Yeah, I don't think buyers use that anymore.
No.
I think what's more important when it comes to search terms and descriptions are the item specifics. Those
yes.
are the ones that are used in search, not the text in a description itself. A description is meant to be read,
right?
Not to be searched.
The other thing, if I think about the ChatGPT thing that he calls out, I would use that as a tool, not as a replacement for what you do. If you run your description, you know, through a ChatGPT, or you have ChatGPT write the description, maybe it comes up with some other keywords that you think would actually be valuable, but don't just take it verbatim.
Yeah, that's important. Well, Matt, I hope we answered your question. I think we did.
I hope so, too. Our next seller question comes from Donna, and she had a question about two types of bubble wrap. Hi, guys. There was a discussion in a seller group I am in about bubble wrap, specifically when to use the different types of bubble wrap, you know, small, medium, or large bubbles. There were a lot of opinions on the topic, and some of them were in contradiction. That doesn't surprise me. I thought I'd ask you two for your take. When is it appropriate to use small bubble wrap or large bubble wrap? Thanks, Donna. You have more experience in shipping various things than I do.
I use a lot of bubble wrap, Donna. I think it'd be a challenge, though, to find a hard and fast rule here. But in general, the rule that I've followed is that the more fragile the item is, the bigger the bubble should be, and the more bubble wrap you should use. In my conversations with professional packers, they claim that small bubble wrap is best used to protect the surfaces of an item that's otherwise not really prone to breakage. Think of like a book. A book won't break, but the surface could get marred. So you would use small bubble to help protect that surface. Medium and large size bubble wrap can be used for wrapping items that have fragile surfaces and also may be prone to breakage. I tend to use the large bubble wrap. I buy a lot of it, and I wrap almost everything I have in large bubble wrap. It's a good default. It's definitely best for items that are at risk of breaking in transit, something like glass or ceramic or items with delicate parts or maybe cologne that doesn't have a box. I go overboard with that. Now, that being said, I shipped a piece of rare redware pottery. It was New England pottery a couple months ago before we moved. And I thought I had wrapped and got that perfect. It arrived broken in pieces. And my mistake was, this was an item that was heavy besides being breakable. And the heavier the item, the more you need something beyond bubble wrap in order to pack it correctly. So what I should have been using is a bigger box. I wrapped the item itself properly, but it should have been suspended in a box of peanuts. And
yes.
So, and I didn't have any.
Or those really big, like bubbles. You see them sometimes with those.
Those won't work.
Oh, okay.
Those are only good for filling in the space to keep an item from moving around, but they're not very good for protection. This is where peanuts shine. And of course, my whole thing about styrofoam, I use compostable, and that was my mistake. So I refunded the guy, but he was so disappointed because it was such a beautiful piece. And I felt terrible because it really was a nice piece and I should have known better. The heavier an item gets, the more you can't rely on just bubble wrap.
That reminds me, I shipped, and this was years ago, an antique wall clock. And I put it in a much larger box, and I ended up paying more for shipping. And I kept questioning, should I really be doing this? But I completely had the peanuts all around it. And the person wrote me back and said, thank you so much for wrapping it so well. But I think I overdid it. I probably could have been more efficient, but I suspended it. You're right. with the peanuts.
I'm not so sure in a case like that overdoing it is a bad thing. It's the whole discussion about the shipping a ball cap in a padded envelope again. Yeah, you have to make those decisions, and the decision should always be that you err on the side of safety. And if it costs you a buck or so more, think of it as insurance and money well spent.
Well, it's interesting. It was good to hear like small bubbles for protecting kind of a surface, larger bubbles for protecting the fragile or breakable item.
Yeah, that's not too heavy. Once you get past like 3 or 4 pounds, now you got to start thinking of something beyond bubbles themselves. Yeah. Oh, and there's one more tip about bubble wrap that Donna didn't ask it, but I'm going to take the opportunity to insert it here. Always make sure the bubbles are facing inwards, not outwards.
Ah.
Even if it's one of those small, there are these like envelopes that are the small bubble wrap, the small bubbles.
Yeah.
Turn them inside out so that the bubbles are inside, not on the outside. They provide more protection against damage to the surface of an item if the bubbles are facing inwards. That's important.
Good tip. So the upshot, Donna, use the packing material that is most likely to protect your item without unnecessarily oversizing or overweighting the parcel.
Good advice. Our next question was sent to podcast@ebay.com by eBay sellers Jason and Trisha, and I'll read this one. Hi, Brian and Griff. We enjoy the podcast and are grateful for the resources and knowledge. My wife and I became eBay sellers, much by accident, in the spring of 2022 when we started helping her dad reduce his quote-unquote collection. Well, I can just imagine. We quickly discovered the old myth is true. One person's trash really is another person's treasure. Trisha grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and we represent the local area code with our eBay store, 816 Trading. Oh, what a great idea.
That's nice.
You put the area code. Yeah, that's good. We made our first listing in April of 2022. Yes, it was indeed a Beanie Baby. Are those still a thing?
I think so.
We knew it was worthless. Oh, I guess they're not. So we used it as a guinea pig. It was actually a bear. We got lucky with sourcing right off the bat in June 22. Our sales quickly took off. We sold nearly 50K from June to December. However, 2023 has been a different story. We have about 500 listings. We post consistently. We've been sourcing higher value items. We believe that our listing quality and pictures are good. We tried promoted listings, standard and advanced. We tried social media ads, but nothing seems to be moving the needle. Our sales have been trending down since early this year, and we can't figure out what we need to do to change or to increase sales. I seem to recall a podcast episode where you discussed a process whereby store subscribers can consult with a specialist from eBay, but I can't find that episode. Can you point me in the right direction? Thanks for your entertaining and informative show. P.S. Go Chiefs. With Jason and Trisha.
Well, I'll just say, I hope Travis Kelce has a good year.
I have no idea what that means.
He's the tight end for the Chiefs.
Okay. I take your word for it. You know me. I'm not so good at sporty sports.
I've got your back.
Thank you. If a fragrance reference comes up, I'll have your back.
Yes.
I think they both may be referring to the mentor program, but I'm not absolutely sure. And we should also mention eBay Academy.
And there was a time when I think that, like, especially like in-person events, we would make available growth advisors. But I don't believe the growth advisors are available just for someone to like sign up for. I think it's more we look out at sellers and say,
yeah,
hey, they may need a growth advisor. But eBay Mentor, sellers helping other sellers. But I agree with you. I think the eBay Academy would be a great resource for them.
Yeah. So it's at academy.ebay.com. You can find more details. And of course, it's free. But Jason, I took a look at your listings and I do have some thoughts that might be pertinent. For one thing, I don't have time to do all of your 400 plus listings currently live, but I did find some examples of listings where it might be a matter of price. I found one item that you're selling. It's a Lodge cast iron grill, number 3059, and you're offering it for $159.99 with $105 shipping. And right now it's on markdown, so it's 20% off. But even at that 20% off, it's still more expensive than a similar item, which is the same number, fire the grill. Theirs is $125 with $92 shipping. If somebody is looking to buy one of these, they may pass yours up because yours is more expensive. Now, granted, yours looks like it's in better shape. It looks like it's been cleaned and blackened. The other one looks a little rusty, but that can make a difference. And there's always this challenging conversation to have. When you're a seller that's offering a mix of items, many of which may be kind of one-off collectibles, it can be really difficult to achieve a high conversion rate for this type of inventory. We always advise sellers who sell this type of stuff to research this inventory carefully before purchasing using Sold or Terapeak, so that you can get a better idea as to the demand and sales velocity for these particular specific items. And many sellers who offer inventory similar to yours find that they have to have a lot of inventory listed in order to reach a working level of sales. Some have a few thousand or even 10,000 or more live listings. The more long-tail merchandise you have, merchandise that may not necessarily be in high demand, there may be people who will buy it at some point.
Right. But it's a once a 6 months or once a year exactly. type of an item.
And you may have been experiencing last year in 2022, the tail end of the pandemic effect.
Yes.
Where all sellers, because we were seeing people still cooped up in their houses. You know, it was a two-year buying period from 2020 through 21 and 22, where online sales for all platforms, they did spike. I hope that answers your question. Do check out eBay Academy and also the mentor program. There's a lot of really, really experienced sellers that are volunteering their time there. Now, they answer mostly new questions, but a lot of them have so much experience, they can actually provide you some insight into your current listing status and inventory choices. I'd ask there as well.
And if you want to get direct access to the mentors, you can go to the eBay community. And underneath community info, there's a link that's called Ask a Mentor. Otherwise, the way that you get to the mentor program is through help. And there's a Ask the Community link through our eBay helpline.
Yeah. So, Brian, our next two questions are two email suggestions, really, regarding recent questions about seller sent offers. The first was in reference to caller Frank's question about not seeing his original offer once a counter offer has been received. And I thought maybe you could read the first one. It's from Patricia.
Sure. The KDD referenced for not being able to view seller offers once a counter offer is received. My workaround is to check my eBay messages either on the app site or in my emailed confirmations from eBay to see what my offer was. Not a perfect solution, especially when I make offers of varying price on the same item to multiple buyers, but it's better than my memory alone most of the time. In the app, I will also sometimes look at completed offers to see what my most recent closed offers were, figuring that once a counteroffer is tendered, the offers I most recently made are closed and hopefully recorded as completed. Patricia, that's great advice, Patricia.
Yeah, it's a good workaround.
Yeah, it's a really good workaround. Thank you for that.
The other email we received on this same topic was in regards to the other question sent in by sewing pattern seller Tammy, who wasn't receiving notifications about received offers. We gave her some advice about setting up her notifications, but this is what eBay seller Breeze Flippers wrote into podcast@ebay.com. Hello, gentlemen. I think it was in episode 255. You had someone who asked a question about seeing expired offers on an item they didn't see when the offer came through, though. I listen to your podcast weekly while I'm riding my bike early in the morning, so I can't recall if it was that episode or not. The answer you gave was concise and covered every plausible reason they might not be getting their notifications. One thing, though, that might not have been considered is whether she has send offers automatically checked on her item. I noticed this a while back that once it's checked, it stays defaulted from all my listings for which I send an offer. I found an item that I had a best offer, and I noticed about five or more offers that were not accepted but never remembered sending them. It was then I found that I had checked one before, and it stayed checked. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that's interesting. Again, thank you so much for your podcast and all the information you share. My wife and I are part-time resellers and just love selling on eBay. We have so much fun sourcing and finding new things to sell. Our username again is Breeze Flippers, and our store name is Doohickeys and Whatnots.
I like both those names. Well, thank you, Breeze Flippers. Good advice, and hopefully our listener prior will go check to see if she's checked that as well.
Yeah.
Our next question was posted to our eBay for Business podcast Facebook group by eBay seller Kathy. I sell a lot of board games. In the past, always used the free boxes from the post office. But now would like to change my listing to Ground Advantage, but where can I purchase boxes for cheap that are close to the same size as the free post office boxes? Well, this is an interesting question. I didn't know there was a priority flat rate box for game boards.
Yeah, I did because I used to use them. In fact, I had some in my garage while I was moving, I found, and I brought them back to the post office. I wondered what they do with them. It got me thinking, USPS for several years had this flat rate priority box that was specifically made for game boards, although you could put anything that fit in there. I forget what the flat rate cost was. I think it was comparable to a medium flat rate charge. But I wondered if USPS still offered them. So I went to their site and I searched and I found a news announcement on the USPS site stating that this particular box was discontinued back in April of 2022. Yeah.
So that size box is no more.
Right.
I wonder if USPS will still honor them as flat rate USPS priority if a seller has a supply of them and attempts to use them for the shipment.
Yeah, I wonder that too, but I kind of tend to doubt it.
So what should Kathy do?
Well, one of our group members suggested putting two boxes together.
A Frankenbox.
Yeah, right. One can also build a box from a larger cardboard box. Either way, the old USPS flat rate game box was about 24 inches by 11 or 12 inches by 3 or so inches. So if you had two 12 by 12 boxes taped together and then cut down so they're not too deep, that could work, I guess, right?
That seems like a lot of work for Kathy.
Yeah, it does. Another solution, Kathy, is you can find the right size boxes online. For example, I did a search on eBay and I uncovered a listing right now that has lots of 25 boxes and they measure the right measurements for game boards. They're 24 inches by 12 inches by 4 inches and you can buy 25 of them for $50.
Well, that's not too bad. It's $2 a box.
No, that's not expensive at all. You'd have to buy the 25, so we assume you're going to plan to use them, right?
Yeah.
So they're not free, but
no, but you know, most things aren't.
Now, there is another option if you have any of those old flat rate game boxes, but it's an option I got to admit, I'm a little loath to suggest because I know some sellers use it.
Uh-oh, what's that?
Well,
I'm a little nervous now.
Yeah, again, I don't recommend this, but it's something you might hear from another seller, so I'm going to admit that it happens. You could use the old USPS boxes. But you could either put them into a large poly envelope or wrap them in poly and then purchase a USPS Ground Advantage label for that box. Now, some sellers do this. I would never do it, of course.
Is there something illegal about it?
I don't think it's a matter of illegal, but it is sort of against the spirit of USPS rules because these are free boxes. Their intended use was for priority mail, not for a lower service like Ground Advantage.
So, Kathy, we suggest you find a source for affordable boxes that are roughly the same size as the old USPS flat rate game board boxes and use those to ship your game boards with USPS Ground Advantage.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, one last question this week is one we mentioned last week. It's from Larie, who asked for advice about time management. We asked you to send your answers in, and we have some to read. First, let's read Larie's email. Hello, Griffin Brian. Looking for advice on time management and self-discipline. I had to take a break from selling on eBay in mid-March 2023, and now I'm struggling to get motivated back on track. Wondering what other sellers do to plan their day or week. I tried blocking time for tasks and went as far as getting an on-air sign so the kids will leave me alone while I attempt to do anything eBay related. The only thing I do consistently is eat lunch, laughing out loud. I've listened and re-listened to the podcast episodes and love the new update to the eBay mobile app. My eBay handle is Unique Valuables. Thanks for all your help, Larie, Boss Lady, Peters.
Well, our first offer of advice that we solicited was called into our hotline at 888-723-4630 by eBay seller Scott.
Hi, my name is Scott and my store is The Trading Depot. And I just wanted to comment on Marie's question about burnout and offer a few of my tips. One thing I do is get up early before the family, and I do my pictures and my listings during that time so that family's not competing with my time. Another thing I do, and this might be a little esoteric for some people, but I'll do just a 5-minute meditation before I get going, and I find that that really helps to keep me focused while I work. A third thing that I might suggest is just having a modest daily listing goal that is manageable, so it gives you an end time when you're doing listings or doing eBay in general. So, I don't know, something 5, 10, whatever it is for you, whatever you have time for. And then the final thing that I had for Maria is to analyze her listing flow and see how she could maybe improve that process. There seems to be an endless way to make things more efficient, and maybe analyzing that would and improving that process would help. That's what I got for now. Have a good one.
His was the only suggestion that came in for the several that we're going to read that actually talked about meditation.
it's actually a really good idea. You get centered and kind of focused on the tasks ahead of you. That's great advice. And I also liked his focus on the listing flow, because I remember years ago talking to a seller and he said his goal was, how do I take steps out or clicks out of the flow? And when I heard that, it's kind of, that's what it made me think about. Have an efficient flow set up so that you can efficiently list.
Yeah. And you find that time does go faster. We've talked about this in the past. If you batch similar tasks, so even I do this. And the irony of this is that Laurie stopped selling in March of this year and then had to get into it. It's exactly my timeline. So in March, I had to end all my listings because we were moving. And I had nothing for sale throughout April and then into May. And then once I arrived here in mid-May, I started slowly putting things back up. So I went from zero listings. Now I'm about 70 listings and I'm adding more every day. But I'm doing that and it's difficult for me because I don't manage my time. So I feel for Laurie that in the morning, I take three or four items and I say, these definitely are going to happen. I take all the pictures. I then go do some research to get some idea of pricing. And then I create the listings on my desktop. I go back to my phone. I edit all the photos, go to eBay app, add them in using the eBay app, and then go back to the desktop. And I'm sitting in the same place. It's not like I'm going a distance, and make sure that everything's cool. And I bulk upload those three to five. Yeah. And that's been working for me.
And then once those are done, if you do those first thing in the morning, you're going to feel good about yourself because you've done those. So even if you don't get another one done the rest of the day, you've already checked it off and you're going to feel good about the rest of the day.
And you know, that's important, that feedback loop. I'm going to be candid. I love doing the podcast. You know, this is my baby and I love doing it. The editing process can become, what's the word I want?
Tedious.
Can be, because it takes a long time. I have to take a lot of breaks because it's listening to a lot of audio over and over and then making repairs and cuts and pastes. And some days, you know, I do most of my editing on weekends. And some days I just look at the editing room and I dread going in. I think, oh God, it's going to be another 6 hours.
You're thinking, oh, how many more, you know, strings of words that I have to cut of Brian?
I cut a lot of my own words. Don't worry about your words. But what motivates me is that when it's done and it's a good job, if I've done a good job editing, I can tell because I give it a quick listen through, that feeling of accomplishment, I'm in a high for the rest of the day.
It's very tangible too, because it's not like a 12-month project. It's like you've accomplished it that for the week and knocked it out.
Maybe that would be a bit of my advice, is to think about the reward of having accomplished a project and it's out of the way and how that'll make you feel.
I do like Scott. I mean, Scott had three key things for me. Do it in the morning, just like you said, where you have your 3 to 5 in the morning that you're going to get out. I like the meditation and his suggestion on efficiency.
Yeah, I think meditation gets short shrift. I think there's a lot to be said with finding. It doesn't have to be transcendental. It doesn't have to be a specific type, but it's a way of quietly and calmly centering yourself and thinking about your place in the day and what you're going to get done without distraction. That's the thing about successfully meditating, is you want to do it in a place where you're not going to be distracted by barking dogs. I'm looking at Charles is at my feet, or the doorbell ringing and packages being dropped.
Or children pulling at your leg.
I don't have that.
Well, she does.
What's our next bit of advice?
Our next bit of advice comes from longtime seller coach, Marcia Collier.
Oh.
We haven't heard from Marcia in a little bit, who writes, "Selling on eBay is a process. Do your research."
Yes.
"Then set aside a block of time for photography. I start my listings on my phone after the photography session and save as drafts. My second session is on my laptop, putting the finishing touches on and launching the listing.
Huh.
The most important part of the process is checking your listings regularly. Look for watchers and adjust any listings that need more views. Also, you can offer discounts to watchers or adjust pricing. I find by segmenting the task, nothing gets too onerous."
Yeah, that's another bit of a good advice. I love the after work. You know, once the items are listed, stay on top of them.
Yes.
Because the second best, well, maybe it's the first best, but another really great reward is ka-ching.
Yes.
So all the work you do is worthwhile.
And remember, though, when you're on vacation, set your time away.
Yeah, right. Or not. Some people just want to come home to a bunch of sales.
Well, my daughter and I were on our way to I'm dropping her off for her last year of college, and she's been listing over the summer. And halfway down the I-5, her phone goes cha-ching. And she was like, how am I going to print the label? And I said, don't worry, I'll ship it when I get home on Sunday.
See, it pays to have daddy.
Yes. And I'll basically be her laborer for the, she's got about 60 listings still up.
You're too good. Seller Deborah Wenzel on our Facebook post had something to say about managing time. She says, develop a routine that fits with your schedule and give yourself grace period if you don't stick with the routine. So, Matt, you know, don't beat yourself up if your routine slips. For example, mornings work best in her routine. She says, they work best in my routine for taking pictures using natural light. A ring light and dedicated space for pictures. Think about what you need for this task and organize the tools all in one space. Organization of tools and tasks is important. Next, use your camera phone to do some editing. Research your item, then take advantage of the drafts. I use the draft option to set up the listings in preparation for completing at a different time of the day. I also take 2 days off each week. You got this. Motivation to online selling will come back to you. So use a routine and get organized. I found routines and organization keep me motivated.
Good advice.
Yeah, it's good. You know, we're all kind of similar doing it in different ways about batching tasks and doing them at specific times of the day.
And morning seems to be a popular time for folks.
Yeah, I'm wide awake in the morning. Not so much in the afternoon.
Well, longtime podcast listener and contributor Babette gives her tips for effective time management. She says, I started with $1,000 and have made a full-time business out of eBay for more than 21 years. Oh, congrats, Babette. Work your business every day. Before I turn off the lights, I make sure that I have completed the following. Create. I list a new product from a vendor or create and list a new product that I have made. Try to do at least one a day. Sometimes I start from scratch. Sometimes I bundle items or create new listings to get new eyes on my listings. Second thing is correct. Go through and find some stale listings. Take new photos, update descriptions or titles. I try to do 5 to 10 every week. Lately, it's mostly updating photos that I took more than 10 years ago, removing the background and reposting.
Yikes.
Third thing, cook. I make items using a glass kiln.
Okay.
So cooking would be important. Cut. I make cutouts using a water jet. Compare. See what other people in my space are doing. Check prices, check sold listings for my categories. Crunch. I crunch the numbers on some sold listings to make sure that my net is what I need it to be. I check my financial pulse every day. In addition, I ship every order every day. I answer emails almost in real time, which makes the messages from eBay trying to sell me stuff kind of annoying. Many sellers feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always stopping what I'm doing to open emails from eBay telling me they want me to loan me some money. My C's, as I call them, are mostly business development. The other tasks are business management.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of C's there. I think some of them very specific to what Babette does, but great advice.
Some really good advice.
Sue Arnone has a multitasking time management strategy. I can't multitask, can you?
No.
I find it really hard.
I read a Stanford article once about this from research, and they said there's actually no such thing as multitasking. Now, I'm going to get corrected by our listeners, but they basically said the brain is just trying to do two things at the same time, and it's just going back and forth doing the things. So you're not really focused.
So Sue says, I scaled my business back quite a bit now as I babysit my granddaughter. I get up earlier to get tasks done before she arrives. She takes, again, photos in early morning sunlight work best for me, she says. And when her granddaughter naps, she says, I list what I can while multitasking laundry, etc. After dinner, I put the majority of my eBay day in. You have to tailor your day to you and what your needs are. Yeah, so that's the challenge about giving it advice is that I think you use them as examples, but not necessarily as templates that are going to work for you because you might not be a morning person. You may be an after dinner person.
Right.
I'm useless after dinner.
And I know some of our sellers who are out on our discussion forums in the community and they're posting at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're very early morning people or late night people.
Well, we have one more.
And finally, eBay seller Anastasia's secret to time management is to set achievable goals. And she says, I commit to reach a specific goal of X items listed in a month that total X dollars. I then break down that by week. It isn't so much about spend X hours on eBay, but by getting a certain quantity at a certain price listed.
That's actually a great way to approach it.
Yeah, it's kind of like if her end goal is she wants to make X dollars for the year, and she knows she has a 20% sell-through, she needs to have so much dollars up on our site to make that number.
Yeah.
It's good advice.
I know a lot of sellers in the past have told me that they use goals like a new car or a vacation or a room remodel or maybe landscaping.
Yeah.
I'm one of those sellers because I'm actually selling off a huge part of my fragrance collection to pay for landscaping outside in the fall. Here in Palm Desert, you garden starting in October through the winter. You don't do any landscaping in the summer.
No, right now, probably the plants will go in and dry up.
They'll die right in front of you.
The roots won't have a chance to get established in the heat.
They actually look at you while you're planting them and they say, "You're killing me." And then they die because it's too hot. So set goals just like Anastasia.
So Griff, how do you manage your time?
Oh God, Brian, let's not go there.
Oh, come on. Just one little bit.
Okay, look, I've given you a little bit of hint. Like, you know, I don't want to go into the editing room all the time. My whole lifetime strategy has been procrastination. And I've tried a lot of stuff to get around it, but I've just had to build it into my model. So my time management model takes into consideration the fact that I hold off doing tasks until the last minute. It's just who I am. I'm never going to change. Besides, I did read somewhere once that procrastination is a sign of genius.
Where did you read that?
I saw it in a TikTok, so it must be true.
Well, if you have a question or some time management advice for Griff to get over his procrastination,
never work,
or selling on eBay, we want to hear it. Call us on 888-723-4630.
Yeah, we love phone calls. 888-723-4630. And you can call it that number any time of the day, any day of the week, at your convenience, at your leisure. Leave a question or comment, and if it's appropriate, we'll put it on the air.
If you're not a call-on-the-phone person, you can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now it's time for your weekly three-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
Oh, and look, what's that I hear? I think it's a golden oldie. It's always a good time to remind you to obtain a thermal printer so your packages have that professional look and feel, which we know delights and assures buyers. You don't want to undelight your buyers, do you?
Definitely not.
Get a thermal printer.
I have one.
I know.
Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we reference during the episode.
On our next episode, we're going to talk with eBay Vice President and GM of Seller Experience in the U.S., Adam Ireland. We're going to talk about eBay Open 2023. I think Rebecca's going to join us
Great.
In the studio. We're going to do that up in San Jose. I'll be up there next week.
Oh, that's right.
And we'll also talk about eBay in general. So if you have any questions you might want to ask Adam, why not send them in? Put them on our list and ask Adam while we're in the room.
It's a great idea. That'll be an exciting episode. Well, we'd like to again thank everyone who sent in questions for this episode. It was a lot of fun. We depend on you folks, and you always come through.
They always come through. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Hey, Brian, did you bring your bathing suit?
I did not. I had to borrow my brother-in-law's bathing suit at his pool.
I got a few extra in the other room. Let's go in the pool.
Okay, sounds good. Splash.